Welcome to All the Bits, a fake radio show about board games, the community, and all the lovely, lovely bits. All the Bits is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network and is sponsored by Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find an amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Sean and Michelle.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 72.
This episode is all about hyping you up for 2021 and giving you someone to blame for spending all of your hard-earned money on Cult of the New FOMO games.
You're welcome. We are officially your scapegoats.
Yes. Blame it all on them. Actually, you know what? Since we are proud members of the Dice Tower Network, you should blame it on Tom Vassell and the Dice Tower.
Excellent. I like this passing of the blame.
Yes. We'll throw them under the bus and then we will be fine.
And no one listens to this, so
then it's okay.
No one will ever know.
Yeah. Although, you know what, Michelle?
What?
Our last episode was our highest listened to episode ever.
Really?
Yeah. We just have to name every episode and tell everyone that it's a top 10 list about the best games, and then they'll be our
people
highest
do love
episodes ever.
Yeah, I told you. People love their top 10s. We should just do a top 10 every episode.
We should, actually. Again, the Dice Tower has made its living on that, so it's perfect.
I know, right? Well, and the reason they do that is because that's what people like. I think this has always been a phenomenon, and I would actually like to understand the psychology behind it, because there's like a plethora of YouTube videos that are like this, and I even remember as a kid seeing like shows that would be like the top 10 scariest places to visit. Like, there's something about top lists
BuzzFeed was a gigantic empire just based on lists. Yep.
Someone out there's got to have done a psychological
study
on this.
Yep.
All you bitsers, if you know, if you're like, oh yeah, blah blah blah, the book, or blah blah blah, the this, please share it with me, because I am curious.
I know there are multiple of you who are psychologists, because you tell me you listen to the show and we work together. So that could probably look this up for us to let us know.
I also want to give out a shout out to all of our Polish listeners, because apparently, like, if you look at our the top listeners, North America, like the States and Canada, is big, but we also have a following in Poland.
Nice. Well, games are pretty big in Poland.
Interesting. So hello. I should have learned how to say hello in Polish.
I don't know how to do that.
Okay, hang on. This is good podcasting. This is what matters.
While you're doing that?
Oh, I don't know how to say that. Dzień dobry.
Okay, perfect. Dzień dobry, everyone.
There you go. All right. Speaking of... No.
Dzień dobry. Hello?
Hi.
Start a conversation. You say hello or hi. And then you ask a question. Huh?
I have no idea what just happened.
This is our Ask Me Anything bit, where we ask each other useless questions about this beautiful hobby. However,
correct.
I am not going to do that today, Michelle.
Oh, boy.
Because, as we just discussed, today is all about lists. Or, like, you know, lists is what people want. So I'm going to ask you to give me your top three entertainment things. So it could be books, it could be video games, it could be TV or movie. Things from 2020 that you consumed.
Top three? Aside from board games? Aside from board games. I definitely got into the puzzle craze, as did many. That was enjoyable. I continue to puzzle when I'm in the mood.
You're puzzling too.
I've been playing more video games again. Just because, partly because my daughter is at video game age-ish. Mm-hmm. And just because I'm stuck at home more, although I am a homebody, so. Mm-hmm. But. Okay, here's one. So I do like doing crosswords. I've always been a big crossword fan. I like New York Times. But their app, they came out with this new game called, I don't even know. Hang on, I'm looking. Spelling Bee.
Got it.
And all you do, it's just a bunch of letters, and you make words out of these letters, but it's like in the shape of a honeycomb, and the middle letter is you have to have in every single word. That's it. I love it. I love it. Every day I do it.
Kathleen would like that.
Yeah, I love it. Today's word was megabyte.
Yeah, you can megabyte me.
I do love word games, which is weird because I don't really enjoy paperback. I'm trying to think. And I don't really play like party word games. Although yeah. I probably would. Like if someone said, let's play Scattergories, I'd be like, yes, let's.
Play Scattergories right now. This episode can just be Scattergories.
I don't think people want to hear that.
I don't know. People would probably enjoy it.
Somebody out there.
But we would have to turn it into a top 10 list. So.
That's true. Top 10 words in Scattergories.
That was my question for you.
Good one. I had a question for you, but then on my drive home, I was like, I'm going to ask Sean this question. So there you go. I'm switching it up.
All right.
So you know how with work replacement games, quite often a good strategy, like I would say probably 90% or more of work replacement games, a good strategy is to get more workers so you can do more things. Right? Yeah, like, it's kind of like a known thing.
Yeah, you got to go to the Love Hut in Stone Age. Gotcha.
There you go. Do you think that there's kind of a go-to strategy in deck building? Similar. I shouldn't say go-to strategy, but you know what I mean? Like a... Yeah. For deck building.
Yeah. I think it's get more buying power as quickly as possible.
Buying.
Like buying. Like being able to buy. Because usually, right, when you do a deck builder, you start with whatever X amount of buying power. So Dominion, it's not called gold, it's called something different. You know, you have the buying power, though, the yellowish cards. You start with 7 ones in your deck. So usually, you know, in the first two turns, you're limited to how much you're going to get because you're drawing 5 times each. And so you're going to get at most seven total for 2 turns. So you want to get those silvers really quickly, or depending what's out in the market, you want to get more of those. So you want to, and Clank, you know, you're going to buy those, I can't remember what they're called. Those ones with the hoods that give you multiple buying power for 3. So yeah, so it's just trying to buy, get cards that give you more buying power as quickly as possible. I think that's what you have to do in deck building. That's why I feel like a lot of people say deck building games are kind of boring. Because you have to build up so you can start actually doing stuff. Then a lot of deck building games, they just kind of end because you just buy, build up, and then boom type thing. So to me, that's kind of like the go-to in deck building games. You have to get those stronger buying power cards as quickly as possible.
Cool. Yeah, I asked because I played the Lost Runes of Arnak and Dune Imperium recently, and they're kind of a new genre or subgenre, if you will, of worker placement and deck building. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, I still really actually like Dominion because Dominion has, so I was thinking about deck building games in general. Well, that was like skipping logic there. So I was like thinking about deck building and whatnot. And I'm like, you know, I still like Dominion. Like I still don't, Dominion has that like feeling of flicking a switch, you know? And you kind of watch your opponents to see when they flick their switch and, you know, you've got to go if they're going kind of thing, at least my minimal plays of it. And I was like, the deck building I've played, I don't feel like that's necessarily the same feeling that you get. Like, I don't feel like that with Clank. Because you've got the movement and stuff. So I was just curious. Yeah, I was like,
Clank could be a little bit different. But I still, even Clank, I feel like you need to have that buying power. Some people go for like the movement really quickly.
Oh, I'm all boots, baby.
Which totally works, but you still need to kind of get, you need to be able to afford those 2 movement cards and stuff. So you need to be able to do more than your base buying power.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, the better cards, in order to be better, you need to be able to afford better. Yeah, just like with worker placement, if you want to do better, you need more workers.
Yep.
To do more things. Cool. Hey, I was curious.
Speaking of being able to afford more.
Hot topic.
That was a good one.
That was pretty good.
I'm going to pat myself on the back for that.
You should. So this hot topic is another top list, not top 10, but top 5.
We're going to say top 10, though. We're going to say top 10.
It's okay,
top,
sure.
We're each doing top 5, right? So it's top 10.
Okay, sure. Sure. Whatever you need it to be. So yeah, this is the bits we cannot wait to fondle in 2021.
I'm using my hands to fondle bits right now. Pretend fondle bits.
Wonderful. I'm so happy for you. Alrighty then. So, all right. Did you have any caveats for making your list? Any constraints?
Yeah, I didn't put games that I have backed on the list. I mean, I kind of put those under honorable mentions because I wanted the games to be, yeah, ones I wasn't necessarily. Well, I feel like my list is like the most predictable list ever.
I felt the same way putting this list together.
At least predictable, like, for me. I feel like I could probably name your top 5 as well.
Probably. Yeah.
And you could probably, if you think about mine, you could probably nail it too. But yes, my one caveat was I tried not to put, and I didn't put any games that I had backed, even though there are a lot of games that were probably this list would be 4 of the 5 might be games that I backed.
Mm.
So that was kind of mine. How about yours?
I did put a game that I backed.
Yeah.
Just, it had 2021 in the date.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh no, I even had ones that were new to me because I checked it today. We were supposed to record this a little bit ago. And when we were supposed to initially record it, I hadn't played Hallertau yet. Mm-hmm. And so that was on my list, but I took it out because I've since played that game. And by the way, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my caveat was just anything new to me in 2021, but it ended up being 2021 releases because hype.
Yep.
Cult of the New.
Yep.
Yep. Right. How did you find your games? Did you use that anticipated 2021 list that everyone's thumbing, or did you use another method?
I just went 2021 games released in 2021 and games that I knew, because I feel like if I knew about, and there's one game I don't think I knew about that I found out about on this list, but the rest to me is like, if I know about it and I was anticipating it in advance of this,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I'm obviously like super interested in that because I have, you know, not as good as some people, but I have my ear to the ground a little bit, so I'm kind of aware of things. But yeah, I went through that and I did look at like what had the highest thumbs and stuff after.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's kind of how I did it.
Cool. I went through that list, the list that we're talking about, the most anticipated releases. I just opened tabs for anything that had a pretty cover.
Yes, that's exactly what I did.
Or, you know, looked like the type of game that I would like. I think in that list, they named some of the categories. Categories or mechanisms, but enough for me to kind of go, okay, yeah, this is probably something that I might like or not. So yeah.
my problem with that list that really annoyed me, and it doesn't annoy me because it makes sense that you would do that, right? Because it's going to get you more recognition. But I feel like all the companies were just trying to like solicit thumbs up for it.
They were. It was really fierce this year.
And, yeah, totally. 100%. Like I've never seen it that bad. Like, and I guess it makes sense for this year, right? Where sales and everything is probably down. But to me, it just kind of annoyed me and rubbed me the wrong way. So I was like, I didn't want to look at that list before making my list because I was worried that it would color, you know what I mean? It would like color some of my thoughts because I'm very, in case you don't know, Michelle, very easily influenced by anything. So I was scared.
That's why we're friends. Yes. That's our common link.
I could see a commercial on TV. Oh my God, I have to have it right now. I'm the
understand.
Reason
people make commercials. All right. Let's give the people what they're hoping for here.
Our top 10.
Our top 10, yes.
Our top 10-ish.
There you go. All right, what's your number 5?
All right, my number 5, again, this would be a huge shock to those of you who know me, although it might be a shock that it's so low on my top 5 list, is The Crew, Mission Deep Sea. Which is the follow-up, the new version of The Crew, which I'm assuming is just going to be the exact same thing as the other one, except your quote-unquote theme is that you're in the water as opposed to space. But I think it'll give a whole variety of new missions, which is exciting. I'm just seeing if it actually says anything. With each card, you dive deeper and deeper into the darkness of the deep sea. Doesn't that sound captivating? I don't know what the differences are. I'm seeing if there's anything on BGG.
Yeah, I'm looking too.
I don't know. I'm assuming, yeah, it's just going to be different missions is my guess. But otherwise, it looks like it's pretty much the same, which I'm totally fine with because, hey, more missions for that. That works for me, man.
Have you played through all the missions?
I played through 30-something. I've not gone through 50, no. But I have played it, you know, individual games probably hundreds of times now at this point. So I'm super excited for it.
I'm looking at, there's a BGG thread on the difference with the original, but it's just a bunch of people making guesses at this point.
I think they probably have it. Looking at the layout of the cards, it pretty much looks like the same thing. Although, I don't know what these cards are here, which might be power cards or something.
I imagine there'll be a twist.
It's in some sort of German, which I don't understand, but yeah.
Oh yeah, someone translated it actually. The one that you're looking at says, "I open no trick with pink or green."
Okay.
I think maybe they're more color based.
Yep. Hey.
Something like that. Anyway, I'm sure there'll be something.
This was my game of 2020, and I don't know if I will get to play it enough for it to be my game of 2021, unless there's a thing on Board Game Arena right away for this, but I'm still very much looking forward to it.
Cool. Yeah. My number five is Tabanusi, Builders of Ur. Ur. That's fun to say. That's a good
one. Like when I'm on the toilet, speaking of poop.
This is published by Board and Dice. Man, they are just on a roll. There's actually a lot of games that I'm looking forward to of theirs. But I picked this one. This is by Daniele Tassini and David Spade. This is another, I think this is a continuation of the T series, which has been a big hit for me, obviously. There are dice in this one. It says that a die, there's different districts, and to activate a district, you take a die, and the die serves two functions. The color becomes a resource, and the value determines which district your worker will activate on the next turn. So a little slight twist on what's already out there. And that's kind of why it's lower on my list. Like normally, had this been, say, last year, maybe it would have been higher up. But it's like, I kind of feel like there's been a flood of these types of games. And while I'm sure I'll enjoy it and I'll be happy to play it, I'm not as excited by it anymore, but I'm sure it'll be another solid title. I don't know David Spade. I'm just gonna look him up as a designer. Daniele
is just a really bad actor.
David Spade only has one game to his name, and it's Seven the Sins. I've never heard of it, so interesting that he's on there. But yeah, I'm sure it'll be good. Yeah, that's Tabanusi, Builders of Ur.
All right, my number four is, I think the only one on this list that I wasn't aware of that I kind of discovered, which I'm super happy I discovered it because I'm hoping it will solve a niche for me. But that is The Adventures of Robin Hood, which is coming out from Cosmos, and design and art by Michael Menzel. And this one kind of seems like it's very much like Legends of Andor, which never grabbed me. However, I am an absolute just junkie for anything Robin Hood themed. So this kind of seems like that. It's a co-op game. But the other thing it does do is it does have almost like they're not calling it a legacy component, but a component where when your dudes and things go on the board, little doors and flaps lift up, which change it and change the space that you're going to. Which is what kind of has me really interested in this game. It also kind of looks very Robin Hood-y, very green and beige, so you'll probably like the colors. And it comes out, I think, in spring. And yeah, so this has me super duper intrigued, just because, again, I like anything Robin Hood, and I never quite, even though I've had people tell me there's a very specific house rule you need to do for Legends of Andor to really enjoy it, but I never really got into Legends of Andor, despite owning it 2 or 3 times and getting rid of it. And I felt like I should like it, so I'm kind of hoping this one, and I think it's the same designer too, right? So I'm really hoping that, yeah, this one does it for me.
And there's a hardcover book as well. Yeah, it
tells the story, I think, that lets you, that's how you do your, like, actions and things, so instead of cards, you're using the book.
Huh.
Which is
neat. I'm interested.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably pick this up. I actually like Legends of Andor. Mm-hmm. I think I like the idea more than I like the gameplay.
That was my problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I still enjoyed the gameplay, but it almost felt, I don't know, it felt like a lot of work, to be honest. I think, yeah. But I really liked I love Michael Menzel's art. I find it really easy to lose yourself in. Yeah. And I really liked, I had the boat expand, the second one, the boat one. And I was so excited to play it, and I never did. Oh, that was the other thing. There's so many pieces in the box.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. It was almost hilarious. Like, just, yeah. Cool. I didn't know about this. That's exciting.
Well, you're welcome.
So I didn't Rob know Michael. Say,
you're welcome.
I didn't know Michael Menzel designed games, too.
I think he did Legends of Andor.
Huh. Not know that. I always assumed he was just an artist, or just, I shouldn't say that, but that he did art alone. All right. My number 4 is Zapotec. This is, again, published by Board and Dice, and it is designed by Fabio Lopiano, who is becoming one of my favorite designers. He's responsible for Kalimala, which is just such a gem. Oh, I love that game. Ragusa, which I enjoyed, and Merv, which I've recently played and have enjoyed as well. So anything by him, I'm instantly intrigued. It sounds like, I always find these descriptions so hard to, like, really get a sense of the game from. But it sounds like this is a card drafting game, and I love card drafting. But then it sounds like the cards are maybe multi-use. So, like it says, there's a resource printed at the top, which determines the row or column you activate on a resource grid. There's a grid. Boom. I'm in. And then the icon in the middle is matches some property on the building space on a board or something. And then the number at the bottom of the card dictates the turn order. So it just sounds like, I don't know, a good drafting game with lots of decisions. And then I think, I couldn't find it again when I read this, but I thought at some point I had read that the cards you drafted also determined your final, the way you get points, okay. Which I thought sounded really interesting. Yeah, so it sounds neat. And I really do like his designs. There's just a simplicity to it and a really cool build up. You know, where you start out and you do an action and it's quite simple, and by the end of the game you're doing so much with it. And then quite often his games have a lot of interaction, not in terms of necessarily taking spaces away from people, but like you're building off of what people are doing, and they're benefiting off of you as well. So there's always decisions in that space versus just, what am I doing? How am I going to do better? There's a lot of consideration there. So yeah, that's Zapotec.
I'm definitely interested in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one sounds good. I don't know if I would get to play it unless it's out later in the year, hopefully, but...
Yeah, I have no idea when it's coming out, actually.
So that was another thing on my list. I tried to like be cognizant of what games are coming out slash what I would realistically be able to play. That was another thing. I tried as much as possible to kind of pay attention to that.
This one. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I found the date. It's November.
Oh, there we go.
So yeah.
That maybe if all things go well, maybe.
Yeah. Really. Hey, that's
that will work.
That doesn't give you a lot of room. Ooh, there's 3D pyramids that you build. Ooh, I'm seeing more pictures on their way on Board and Dice's website. Ooh.
Speaking of three, no, I actually don't know if this game has a my number three, but it's number three, so that works. Look, I make beautiful segues even when I don't even try.
Well,
how awesome is that? Well, I was trying, but I failed, but then I was successful.
Sure.
So my number three, the bronze medal position, if you will, My father's work from Renegade Game Studios, designed by T.C. Petty III, I think it's T.C. Petty III, and art by Eric Hibbler, Damian Mamolti, and Janos Orban. There's not a ton on BGG about this game other than an amazing description. So, I urge any, no matter how boring your game might be, if it's like a super duper boring Euro, just read the description. Like, just do a description like this and you'll get my attention at least. But the description's really amazing.
Which isn't hard to do.
But I think, so from what I gather, this. In my father's work, I'm going to read this to you and tell you what I've gathered about this game. Players are competing mad scientists entrusted with a page from their father's journal and the large estate in which to perform their devious experiments. Players earn points by completing experiments, aiding the town in its endeavors, upgrading their macabre estates, and hopefully completing their father's masterwork. So you're basically, your father was Dr. Frankenstein and you're trying to complete Frankenstein, which is awesome. And from what I gathered from this game, it's a worker placement game primarily, but I think it has other elements to it. And I'm sure it's a Renegade game, so it'll be amazing. And T.C. Petty does really kind of innovative different types of designs, which is nice. So I think it's got a lot going for it. So I have been, ever since I've heard about this game, I have been super excited about it. And
I think Jeremy from Man vs. Meeple had mentioned this one too, that mm-hmm. he thought it looked really good.
Yeah, and this is another game I'm kind of hoping will be out. I don't know when it will be out. I'm hoping it will be out later in the year because it's not a cooperative game. It's not really a soloable game. So I'm hoping later in the year. Probably my guess is you're going to need three players for it, not even two if it's worker placements. But I'm super excited. Just on theme alone, I am absolutely just jonesing for this.
I'm just going to their 404.
Cover image is gorgeous.
It is, yeah.
What you would think, a drawing someone does, or a painting someone does of Dr. Frankenstein's castle. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it looks really.
And I'm
nice.
Sure the art will be fantastic because Renegade usually does really cool, really nice art. So.
Yeah, I just at their on Renegade's website, it just says more coming soon.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, cool. What number are we on? Three?
Three. The bronze.
All right. This one is a Kickstarter that I did not back.
Oh.
But wow. I think they're opening up a late pledge, which I might get in on. And that is Endless Winter Paleo Americans. This is coming out by Fantasia Games. And from what I understand, it is another deck builder / worker placement game.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, the designer also did Rurik,
yep.
Old West Empresario, and Dice Hospital and Lockup. So some pretty well-known games. I've heard, honestly, this didn't really capture my interest. I thought it looked nice. The Kickstarter looked interesting. Of course, it was a total blinged out Kickstarter, but it wasn't until I started hearing people who had played it talk about it. And I know it's the hype.
It wasn't me last episode when I said it was my most looked forward to Kickstarter.
It was probably not you. No, it's probably it probably was that mixed with I know Jeremy Howard.
Yes, he was the reason I back that because the designer I believe they're in like the same game group.
Yeah.
And so he was like, at some point, I was having a really bad day at work, and like I got home and I sent Jeremy a message, and I was like, okay, I need to spend money to make myself feel better. What should I buy?
Well, that's so healthy, Sean. I'm so happy to hear that.
I know. Oh, my goodness. I feel like there should be an intervention. So anyway, he didn't help by sending me this link, and he was like, just go all in and don't think about it. But I did.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Message me next time. I'll get you to buy me a euro.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then the game won't come here, and then I won't.
Exactly. It won't cause you additional stress because it might have stickers, you know? Yeah. But yeah, it was him and Alex Radcliffe from Board Game Co. He was, you know, talked a lot of hype about it. I know Matt versus Meepo have talked a lot about, like, people are just saying it's a really, really excellent game. And after playing both Dune Imperium and Lost Ruins of Arnak and realizing how much I do enjoy this whole genre or subgenre, this one has recaught my interest. Now, I've heard that there's a late pledge. I think I've submitted my email, but I haven't heard anything more, so I don't know if that's actually a possibility.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I wonder if I could. I can't remember if the pledge manager has opened and closed or not, but just remind me and I could check because I could get it for you.
Yeah. That sounds great. Thank you. Yeah, it's got some nice bits. It's got minis for the
Kickstarter. Is like, I'm always like, you know, with Kickstarters, it's like, but there's a lot of content
from the Kickstarter. Was there?
Yeah, so I was like, okay.
Yeah, was it a rough day, Sean?
It was a really bad day. It was awful.
Well, there you go. Endless winter will make all your woes go away.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my number three. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope I can get in on the late pledge.
All right. My number two. Do you have any guess what my number one and number two are, Michelle?
Honestly, I've seen so many flipping games
all right.
on this list that hang on, let me look at my list. I would guess possibly, I don't think this would be in your top two though, would be Dice Realms, maybe.
No, but it was on my short list, but no.
I don't know. No, okay. Sorry.
Number two is Terraforming Mars.
Oh, of course.
Ares Expedition. I was surprised this wasn't number one. But I am really excited for the first game, so I was like, news of this just dropped, like, I feel like right around when we were going to do our initial episode. Maybe a few days before, so I think my initial draft of this list, this wasn't even on there. And then kind of the news dropped, and I know Jeremy Howard from Man vs. Meeple is very high on it and saying it's amazing. And I've seen some other people post online about how fantastic it is. So I'm super excited. This is a card version of Terraforming Mars, because Terraforming Mars is a card game.
Boardless, perhaps?
I think Boardless is a better... Yes, exactly. I think Boardless, but I think it's also... You can also expand it and play Terraforming Mars with the cards, from what I gather. So this is by I can't pronounce his name. Fredless, the brothers who do Terraforming Mars, as well as Sidney Engelstein and Nick Little.
To see Sidney on there.
Yeah, because I think, isn't she, well, aren't all of them, like, I don't know about in charge of Stronghold now, but, like, in-house designers for Stronghold, like, the whole lot of them, the whole family. I think they're, like, something to do with, like, in-house designers. I feel like they're probably attached to most games from that now. But, just having a quick look, there's not any information on whatchamacallit other than that it's an engine-building game. In which players control interplanetary corporations with the goal of making Mars habitable is the word.
Habitable. And profitable. Profitable.
But it's a Terraforming Mars game, so I'm super duper excited about it. And again, based on kind of what I've heard online is about how great it supposedly is. my one hope when I see the first thread that comes up on BGG is that the art is a little bit better on it. But I don't know. I'm just kind of reading on what someone posted that was on another show. There are 208 cards in it. There are only, so 100 of the cards are from Terraforming Mars. 108 new cards. There's a small board for tracking placements and
it's your not boardless.
No, which is shocking. But the box looks pretty small. New consistent artwork across the cards.
No clip designed art.
To be like Terraforming Mars light, reducing playing time by half, which makes me very excited because as much as I love Terraforming Mars, it can go a little long. There are no cubes in it, so producing steel and titanium just reduces card costs, which I don't think is a bad idea. It will go to Kickstarter mid-February.
So, yeah, I thought about putting this on my list, but I'm like, I don't know if it's just, if it's a card game using the Terraforming Mars name. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Terraforming Mars. My hope is that, you know, I mean, if I could get Terraforming Mars played in 45 minutes at four players, like if I could get that experience, this will be my game of the year. Like, not even close.
Whoa.
Because, yeah, totally. 100%. Because, you know, even if I play Terraforming Mars with four people who all know how to play, it's still not going to be that fast, right? So if I could get that experience in 45 minutes, that would be amazing.
Didn't you already claim that The Crew is going to be your top game for 2021?
Listen, it's just going to be a bunch of basic re-implementations of games I've played before a lot. So one of those two.
Okay, I'll hold you to that.
Yeah.
I won't remember. I won't remember tomorrow, to be honest.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I'm curious about that one.
You don't listen to our show over and over and over?
Pardon me?
You don't listen to our show over and over and over?
I do not. Oh,
what's wrong with you?
No. Cool. I would lose my mind.
You really would.
All right, my number two? Two. Is Darwin's Journey.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, it felt like a little bit of a cheat, but still, it's coming out in 2021. This is just closing up on Kickstarter, I think, at the time of this recording.
Why does it feel like a cheat? Because it was on Kickstarter.
Because it's a Kickstarter. I don't know, which doesn't really make sense, but yeah. I did back this one because it had an expansion in there. So I was like, all right, cool.
Got back it for the expansion, man.
Yeah. Didn't I say my my New Year's resolution would be to this year was not to get suckered into solo plays. Last year was not get suckered into expansion. So I'm still good.
Yeah.
I'm still good. This plays solo though, so that's why I backed it.
Yep.
So this is Simone Luciani and Nestor Mangone. Nestori Mangoni. I don't know. I'm sorry. Luciani has done some of my favorite games: Lorenzo, Grand Austria, yeah. Zolkin, Voyages of Marco Polo, Barrage. Hello. So anything that comes out from him, I'm interested in. The playtime isn't insane. And the reason I bring that up is Carnegie is another game that looks excellent, but it's a 2 to 3 hour playtime.
Yeah.
This is 60 to 120 minutes, so mm-hmm. that's okay. Mm-hmm. I can do that. I like the theme. Not that I really care all that much about theme, but Darwin, sure.
Very beige, creamy.
It does kind of look like that, eh? It's very beige.
But it's fun. Is it Thunderworks?
Or, yes, Thundergriff.
No, Thunderworks. Thundergriff. Yeah, they make really nice Kickstarters and stuff. So
yeah, it looks like
really
it'll be a
gray
good production.
And beige, but it will be. I'm sure it will be gorgeous.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about the game. The mechanisms, there's a long list. It sounds like his other games: contracts, point to point movement, set collection, turn order, stat based, variable setup, worker placement, different worker types. So I imagine this isn't going to feel overly novel or unique, but I think it's probably just going to be super solid. And again, the people who have played it have been singing its praises. So I imagine, yeah, this will be a good one. The only thing I can see that kind of explains what might make the game unique is it has an innovative worker progression system where each worker has to study the disciplines that are prerequisite to perform several actions in the game. Whatever that means.
I don't know what you just said.
I know. Yeah, so it sounds like you're going to have to upgrade your workers in order to do different things, possibly. Yeah. But it's going to be solid, for sure.
So this link has been open, like, all week. For my computer with me just trying to talk myself out for doing it, because again, I know it does have a solo, but I don't know if I'll play it, but based on when it'll probably deliver, it's like, you know, I think it's at like November, so like, you know, it might be able to play it with other people. So I have apparently 16 hours from the time we're recording this to decide.
I'll tell you what, go have a bad day.
Yes, exactly.
And then yeah,
very possible.
Go for it.
And if ever there was a game that was begging you, do not buy the base game, buy the collector's edition. It's this one.
There's I know. Metal I know.
Point, soft plastic wax seals.
Right.
I haven't even checked the stress goals, but there's like a stand up cloth bag, so weighted cloth bags for your seals. And then, but I do like the meeples are like wooden aged or something.
Yeah, they did there's one of the stretch goals was a finish that made it look, the wood look, yeah, aged.
I'm curious to see that, if they're really ugly. Idea. Actually, I think that could go either way.
Yeah, you're right, but it probably could. It yeah, like- I'm looking now at the Kickstarter, and I don't know what about the expansion. Like, I imagine it's not exclusive to Kickstarter, so I don't know why I thought, oh yeah, well, this is worth backing, because I thought it was something about the expansion. But I can't find it. So, but now I'm in, and you know.
Yeah, you gotta go.
I have no choice. I have no choice.
You gotta go. You gotta do it, man.
Right?
Yep.
So, you gotta do it. Yeah. That's my number two.
Sweet.
Darwin's Journey.
All right. Where's my number one?
Number one.
Just had it open like 2 seconds ago. Oh my gosh, I'm losing my mind here. There we go.
What's all above right. Terraforming Mars?
This one's a bit tricky. I am calling this a 2021 game. Some people are calling it 2020. I totally disagree with that. So I'm actually going to see what BGG says right now. Give me 1 second. But I see BGG saying 2020. I disagree with that. I think it's a 2021 game. But that's Dice Throne Adventures.
Ah.
From Roxley Studios, designed by Gavin Brown, Nate Chantelier, Manny Tremblay, with art by Gavin Brown, Damien Mamolti, who I just mentioned before, and Manny Tremblay, as I mentioned, published by local favorites, Roxley, who do all these Dice Throne packages have been amazing. But this is, so Dice Throne Adventure, I'm sure everyone knows about it. I'm not even checking that list, but I'm assuming it's pretty high. Just looking at BGG, it's 8.7 with 273 ratings, and people are just getting them now. So this was a game Kickstarter. It's just being delivered now, and Roxley is not sending it out until, for people who didn't Kickstart, until February. So I am going with this. And I did not, unfortunately, I did not back this, because I was going to back it. I didn't back it way back when, because my
too many good days.
Probably, but also my friends who are in the group backed like everything, like the big 400 and something dollar, whatever. In my play group, they backed it, and of course, that was before COVID. So now, when it's delivering, there's no way for me to actually play it, which is unfortunate. So I might have to pick it up, pre-order it from Roxley, which is probably what I'm going to do. Because, again, it's a game I can play 1 to 2 players. Kathleen has played Dice Throne a couple times with me and enjoyed it, so I think she'll enjoy the mechanism. Basically, what it does, it turns one of your Dice Throne characters, so you pick your characters. You need it's an expansion. I'm using very loose quotation marks, though, with that, because it's an expansion in that you do need Dice Throne, at least one character from Dice Throne, to be able to play it. But it's an entirely different game. It's a dungeon crawl. You're going through and you're battling baddies and getting loot. And rooms open up as you move your standee, or if you Kickstarter the fancy version with the pre-painted ones.
Question.
Yes.
Was the original Dice Thrones a dungeon crawler, or was it like more of a head-to-head combat?
Yahtzee. It's Yahtzee, and like Yahtzee and Magic the Gathering had a baby.
Okay.
That's like my best way to
it's Yahtzee. That actually sounds really good.
It's good. It's, yeah. I mean, I slowly, my problem with Dice Throne is I played it, and the more I played it, the more I really started liking it. And then once the second season came out, I really enjoyed that. And then I played Unmatched, which I feel like Unmatched does everything I want. But this, I like this because it completely changes it around. Okay. So, yeah. So it's a co-op. It's a dungeon crawl. And you work your way through. I think it's got like not a legacy deck, but yeah, it's more of a campaign type deal. Your heroes will gain deck upgrades with each sessions. So, and I think the bad guys get better too as you go on. But that's so the one caveat for this game is you do need to have Dice Throne or access to it. But you can get, for those of you who don't know, if you don't own Season 1 or Season 2 of Dice Throne, you can actually get those packs they have of two heroes in it. They're like $20 or $22. So if you don't want to like go ahead and buy a bunch of Dice Throne because you're like, oh, I want to play this, but I don't have any desire to actually play that head-to-head combat type game, you can go ahead and buy like one of those pack, those two packs.
So, cool. That's easy. I didn't know it was a dungeon crawler. That's neat.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my number one. Do you have any guesses?
I'm going to check my list.
I think this was on my list last year.
Was it? Oh, then I don't think I know. On your list last year, hey?
I think so.
No, it wouldn't be Oath. That doesn't sound like a UK. Mm-mm. No, I have no idea if it was on your list last year, because I don't think any of these on my short list are. No.
All right, it's Gollum.
Okay, yes. Yep.
Yeah. So.
It's on a lot of people's lists last year.
Yeah, this was supposed to come, I think it was supposed to come out last year. There's still, I don't think, a definitive, yes, this is coming out this year.
Yeah. Yeah,
I should have checked the forums here. There's a bunch of questions. I think there's been some talk about Kickstarter. Yeah, it still seems very up in the air. But I'm going to be optimistic and hopeful that this hits the shelves this year, because this game is. I don't know if I'm making stuff up right now, but I'm going to say the spiritual successor to Grand Austria Hotel. It's by the same folks, and it has many of the same mechanisms, apparently. It's an engine building game, and from what I can gather, it works in a similar way to Grand Austria and Isfahan, in that whatever action you take as many, like, so, sorry, in Grand Austria Hotel and Isfahan, there are dice, and if you take an action, you take that action as many times, or your action is as powerful as there are the number of dice that are in that spot. Mm-hmm. Apparently with this one, it's going to be marbles, so I'm wondering if that Lorenzo marble card game was inspired as they were working on this one. But a very similar idea is that, yeah, you'll throw marbles down and they'll fall into the tray. And then when you take out a marble, depending on how many are there, will determine the power or how many times you can do that action.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. I don't know if I think the color of the marble the marble color matters at the end of the round, because if you get the correct combination of two colors, you get some favor, which differs every round.
Yeah.
If it's a spiritual follow-up to Grand Austria Hotel, obviously, yeah. I'm super excited about it. And I love the idea of marbles.
Yeah.
Why not? Yep. I really, really hope it comes out this year. We will see. Time will tell.
Late 2021.
Okay. And I know, I think Rotto said he didn't put it on his list because he heard it was going to Kickstarter.
But it's not. The person's David, okay. David from Cranio.
Okay.
And then I think Rotto may have edited his list.
Oh, okay.
So I see he followed. I'm looking at the thread now.
Yeah.
He said, oh, well, consider Golem on his list.
Okay.
He just assumed it was Kickstarter after Barrage, and I don't think anyone would actually back it after Barrage.
That was a bit of a mess.
Oh, man. But this guy is saying, yeah, it got frozen because of COVID, and now, yeah. So
okay.
They're saying late twice, so I'm guessing they'll shoot for Essen.
Wonderful. Wow. This is good news. Yeah. Yes, I think it's going to be a really good game. And awesome. I think they've been working on it for a while. Like, it won't be something that they just... At least I get the sense that it's not something that they just... They were asked to make a game, they did a game, they called it a day. It sounds like something they've been putting some love and attention towards, so that's good.
Yep. Yeah, I'm definitely interested in that one.
Yeah. So. All right, cool. So,
yeah.
You mentioned you have some honorable mentions. Do you want to go through
them? I have a ton of honorable mentions. But my number one honorable mention is definitely Endless Winter.
Okay.
Just because I back that one. If I was playing Kickstarter once on my list, that would probably be probably above Dice Throw. It would probably be my number
one. Oh, really?
One. Yeah, I am super duper excited about that. I adore Lockup so much. That's such a favorite of mine, and his other games, it seems like. I haven't played them, but they're really good. What else do I have? Dinosaur World, another one I backed.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Is on this list. Yeah, that'll actually be out. The other one, which I did not back, but that was also on Kickstarter, is Oath, Chronicles of Empire and Exile. And I went to, this is from the Root team. I think it's set in that, universe-ish, but more of a political type game. So, I mean, there's absolutely no way I would get that game and play at all. Creature Comforts, another game I backed that I'm super looking forward to. Origins First Builders, one of those games, those board and dice games I'm very interested in. Wildlands the Ancients, which is a big box expansion for Wildlands, which gives it a solo mode. Darwin's Journey, you mentioned. I have a whole bunch more on here too, but that's kind of it, yeah.
All right, I'll mention a few myself. I picked some of the ones that were obvious, and I tried to pick some ones that were maybe a little bit outside of the, okay, let's see there. Let's look at the, most popular Euro designers and what games are coming out. And we have Michelle's list done. So one of the ones I have is Skyrise. So this is a follow-up by Roxley Games on Metropolis, which was a really cool auction area control game.
Yeah.
And Roxley always does such wonderful work and amazing production. So,
yeah,
I'm excited about that one. That one's supposedly coming out this year. Mm-hmm. And what else do I have? Hanam Koji Geisha's Road. So I adore Hanam Koji. I think it's an incredible game. It's a two-player card game. And, this is a follow-up. It looks completely different. Like, it has the same art, but it looks like the design is rather different. And I know some of this publisher, they did some other games, obviously, and Emperor S4, and they haven't been as good. So, again, it's kind of that question that I had with Terraforming Mars, where it's like, is it just, have the name?
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't make my top five, but I'm quite excited for that one. This was also on my list last year. This is actually my top five, and it still hasn't come out. I haven't looked or heard much about it, but it's Dice Realms. Mm-hmm. So this is by Thomas Lehman, and it is a build-your-own dice game. Mm-hmm. There's like a ton of different die faces, and I'm just looking here. Players draw 5 tiles from a bag, blah, blah. 650 plastic die faces in 72 types. Yeah. So Definitely curious about that one. I don't know. It might be super expensive. Like that roll for the Galaxy expansion that had the die faces, like $70 Canadian for an expansion. Yeah. But yeah, he does good work. Race for the Galaxy, Roll for the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. So just, yeah, curious about that one. I like dice. I like the idea of modifying dice. This one was kind of like a different pick, and it's called Transmissions. This is by Adam West, and honestly, I read a little bit about the game, which I thought sounded interesting, and the art is super cute. It's a super cute little robot made out of like metal and but like tin looking. I don't know how to describe it. It's just super. It's super cute. The art is just Transmissions. Yeah. Just looks really cute. It's got
He's so cute. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's going to be miniature robots, and there's a few other robots. So. They're so cute. They're just so cute. So I adore the art. And it has a rondelle, which I always enjoy, with some set collection, hand management, and whatnot. So, yeah, it looks like it'll be a fun game. 45 to 60 minutes, so I imagine it'll be like a bit of a filler plus. But it'll be I think it'll be good. It looks cute.
Cool.
And then I already mentioned this one, but Carnegie, this is coming out by Quinned Games. They do fantastic games for the most part. The only reason it didn't make my list is because it plays in 2 to 3 hours. And I think it says 1 to 4 players, and the community says 1 to 4 is best. But I thought I saw somewhere, or maybe based on the description, I thought it might sounded like it might be better at a 3 to 4 player game. Okay. But the art's by Ian O'Toole, so it's gorgeous, of course. And yeah, I'm hearing good things. It's on Kickstarter right now, but I haven't backed it. And then I also have Origins First Players on my list.
I was back to Carnegie. Sorry, I was. Yeah. That's on Board Game Arena right now. And okay. I was just reading the rules / gonna maybe play it last weekend, and it was like no, and we just ended up playing Dominion. So I would like to try it, and the fact that it's on Board Game Arenas, but hopefully will get me to actually try it. But yeah, that playtime, man, that's
a yeah, playtime. It's a lot. It's heavy, like it's 3.85, so it's gonna be a heavy long game. And yeah, like right now, you know, I don't know about you, but I definitely go through phases where I have sometimes I'm like really into heavy games and I'm just like, nom, nom, nom. Yeah, 3.85. Woo, 2 to 3 hours. Let's do it. Right now I'm like, ooh, Trash Pandas, my game, right games, 15 minute filler with Put Your Luck. That sounds fun. So yeah, that's where I'm at right now. I imagine I'll pick it up and play it, but not as excited. And then, yeah, Origins First Builders. I'm like, I think if I understood this game more, I would maybe be more excited. Listening to Man vs. Meeple, they had it listed on their most anticipated list. And I think Jeremy and, I can't think of his name right now. One of the other ones, sorry. They played it and they were like, oh, it's incredible. It's amazing. Oh. And some of the things they described sounded up my alley. So I'm excited for this one as well. I have Board and Dice. They're good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've got some great games coming. And I've played their Mandala Stones or Mandala. Mandala? Mandala.
Okay.
And it's really fun, too. It's a good abstract.
Cool.
So there you go. There's my honorable mentions. I wanted to ask you, did you expect any trends, or do you have any predictions about this coming year?
I think, well, you already have this on the list, but I'll steal it from you because I think that's the one. I think you will see a lot more companies making, well, solo and games specifically for two players now. I think you're going to see a lot more of that, games designed with solo in mind, just because of our new reality, and especially games that they want out in 2021. I think, you know, going forward, you'll see the same kind of games that have typically come out, but I think you're going to see a big spike in solo games, in 2021. That's kind of my big prediction.
Yeah. It's almost like when I first got into the hobby, a lot of, it was like more and more people were saying, we need two-player games. We need two-player games.
Yeah.
Like, that was becoming more of a thing. And now I feel like it's becoming, we need one-player games. Like, it's almost becoming not a requirement, but
yeah, I think
yeah.
Yeah, I think that was starting before. If you look at, like, the online communities for, like, solo games,
yes,
there's some really big groups and there's lots of people. But I think now with COVID, I think it's almost if it's not a necessity for most games, it is very close to being a necessity. Mm-hmm. If you want to sell your game in 2021, right? Because there are way more people now who, yeah, can only get a game if they'll play one or two players, because you're not allowed. You're not legally allowed if you don't live with other people in your house. So, yes, I think you'll see a lot more of that.
Yeah, and I think...
And with the actual solo in mind versus, you know, a lot of games it's tacked on. I love the trend. I think the other trend, actually, sorry, I'm going on.
No,
within that is, I know CG has done a really good job of that, and I know some other companies is releasing solo modules for existing games on top of it. Like, I know they did that with Sanctum. They've released more content for Lost Ruins of Arnak for solo, and, you know, so I think you'll see more companies doing things like that as well, like releasing actually tested as opposed to slapping on a solo to an existing game. You'll see companies actually release content that has been tested and tried for a solo experience.
Yeah, I agree. In terms of genres of games, like roll and write's really big. I think that's going to start to fade. Because it's been like 2 years now, I think
it has
been really popular. And dice games, I think, is a trend that is slowly dying. Like, I know Terraforming Mars, the dice game, is still coming out, but I felt like for a while there it was like everything had
that
a
was on my list, but I haven't heard anything about it, so I just kind of bopped it off. But yeah.
One of the things that genres I think will grow is just this whole like narrative experience. Like, people seem to be really into that, and some of the games, like I think they're called adventure games by Cosmos, where it's like really like the point and click, where you're like, here's a room, pick a number, read some story. And I know there have been a few other games that have come out. I'm not as into them, so I'm not as like aware of all the ones.
I did mention it because my list was already huge, but Cantaloupe Book 1, Breaking into Prison from Friedman Fries, or co-designed by Friedman Fries.
Yeah.
I'm super stoked for that. Plus, he's got a co-designer on it, which I'm hoping helps, like, the freedom factor in that, you know, reins him in a little bit. So it's but anytime Friedman Fries does anything, I'm interested. But yeah, this game, like, seems super cool.
Yeah, so that's definitely... in that vein, and it just seems to be something that a lot of people are talking about and enjoying. And just I'm sure it didn't start with those graphic novels, the choose your own adventures, but I feel like that was kind of one of the big hits. I'm seeing more of a merge of almost like they weren't really games, really, those like choose your own adventure books and stories and just more merging with game mechanisms. And I think we're going to see some innovation in that space, and we're going to see a lot of games come out, and it follows that solo trend too, right? Quite well.
Play those solo.
Exactly. And you can do it, you know, you can sit on your couch and, you know, have a coffee and do it sort of thing. So I think that'll...
Oh, you're cute. You can sit on your couch and have a coffee. Don't get all over the place. Try to do that.
I imagine the worker placement deck building, I think we'll probably see a few more of those.
What else are you excited for? Anything else hobby related in 2021?
Not really. I mean, obviously, I'm hoping at least by the end of the year we can start gaming with people again. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be nice. That's
kind of my hope. My hope, I feel like every year, is that I'm hoping that Kickstarters will go down and won't be so crazy, but I feel like it's going to get way worse.
What do you mean when you say go down and not be crazy?
Like, not be like, oh, there's 10 million Kickstarters that you guys spent $300-$400 to go all in on to get all the stuff anymore. But I feel like now it's just going to go like, it's going to be just through the roof with those.
Yeah.
I already feel like it's already like overwhelming to go on Kickstarter. But yeah.
And I think this year we saw a lot more Euros on Kickstarter. Yeah. Like I think that whole like concept of deluxifying a Euro has caught on, right? Like I think before it was like, ooh, miniatures. And now it's like, ooh, wax seals.
Yep, exactly. And yeah. I think, from a consumer point of view, I feel like any game on Kickstarter, I'm like, oh, I can back this now because by the time it delivers, maybe things will be better and we'll be able to play it in person versus if I go spend the money on the game on games now. But I've spoken to like a few people who've like said, yeah, like that's exact. We've never backed Kickstarters until now because now we back a Kickstarter. Oh, it's not going to deliver until 2022. So things will be, we'll be able to actually play it and enjoy it now. And same thing with later in 2021. And like, that's kind of the way I'm looking at games I'm excited for is like, well, if it's first half of 2021, unless it's something that I know my wife will play or that I could play with my daughter or that I might be motivated to play by myself, I'm probably not interested unless it's coming out like later in 2021.
I have to say I have learned that I really am okay playing games alone. Like I miss playing with people, and I still have a game night with my husband every week, and I enjoy it immensely. It's like, oh yeah, this is really neat playing against someone. But I love just exploring games so much, and just the ideas behind them and the art and just everything about them. And so, yeah, I'm still enjoying myself and still buying.
I'm hoping I will do more of that in 2021. That's my hope. More.
She'll see.
More playing with myself, Michelle.
If anything, Sean, I would like you to have up-to-date relevant data for our look back episode. Yeah,
I've been doing it so far. I'm even doing my plays with Nora, so
nice.
Now it'll be through the roof.
Excellent. With a bunch of kids' games.
I do really want to play. I have Lost Rooms of Arnak sitting there. I'm hoping to play. I have Under the Fallen Skies and Warp's Edge. Like all those three games are very highly like recommended for solo, and I think I would enjoy all the themes on all three of those. So I'm hoping to get those played.
Nice.
And so I'm hoping I will just be taken by something solo that's not Marvel Champions. So that's what I hope. Unmatched has a whole bunch of Marvel expansions coming out that I'm like super excited for too. Not that I will play them, but to at least paint them. I'm like super looking forward to just getting them to paint them. But yeah, sorry.
No, that's good. That reminds me, I looked up Feld, and I don't see anything listed for him for this year, so that's rather upsetting.
Oh, are none of those
The Kickstarters, but I mean, yeah, and I'm excited for those, but like, they're re-implementations of a game, not brand new, fresh ideas. This year was big for him. I mean, he did come out with Bonfire, Castles of Tuscany. Was that it? Hang on.
A Carpe Diem version that doesn't suck.
Oh, yeah, that's coming. Yeah. Do I buy that? That's the question.
Of course you will.
So 2021, he has, there are two re-implementations, Hamburg and Amsterdam, and then Cocopelli, which was on Kickstarter. I didn't back it, but it looks fine. Looks like a nice card game, but kind of disappointing. I am super excited about Felduary, which is in a few days.
Know how many Feld games I will play this Felduary?
Zero.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I'll try and get one in.
You should try. In honor of me.
Yeah, just for you.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. That was our hot topic.
Hot topic.
Top 10-ish.
It was definitely top 10 because none of ours were crossover, so it was 10 games. That is literally the definition of top 10.
And you could even do a top 10 honorable mentions, because I'm pretty sure.
Probably, yeah. I think we each have them. Yeah. I have even more. Slay the Spire. Have you played Slay the Spire on this, like, computer or Switch or whatever it's on? No.
No.
That's a board game. Have you heard of it?
No.
Really?
Correct.
So Slay the Spire is, like, this deck building game on computer. I've never played it. I still haven't played Steam, or it's on the Switch too. I'm waiting for it to go on sale on the Switch to get it. But it's like super duper popular, and everyone, board gamers, seem to absolutely gaga over it. So that is coming to Kickstarter. But that's either going to be one of those things where it'll probably be really bad and just a cash grab, but it might be good. Who knows?
Neat.
So there's lots of stuff coming.
Speaking of neat, Sean.
Yeah.
Do you want to do our most obnoxious sound effect for this?
Ah! Oh my god. I'm going to get a tax now.
Thank you.
You won't.
It was worth it. It was worth it. This is our shipping out. That was a ship sound, by the way.
Yes, it was.
Because this is our shipping out.
This is where we identify which bits are being banished from our homes.
Out!
Get out!
All right, what's yours?
Oh my gosh, I have gotten rid of so many games recently. I recently got rid of something that I really wanted to like and I didn't. Oh yeah, Manhattan. Have you played this? You know what Manhattan is?
Oh yeah, I played it with you, actually.
Yeah, so I played it during that like period, I think when we played it. I probably played it 5 to 10 times. I was really, really into it. So Manhattan is a... you're building buildings, building 3D buildings, area control-ish, a little bit of card management, but it's an area control game where you're building buildings. And this was out of print. I can't remember who printed the first one, the initial one, but it was out of print for like ever. Like if you got Manhattan, you were like super lucky and probably hawked it on eBay or something. But it came out... 4, 5, 6 something years ago from Fox Mind. I think it was Fox Mind, one of the Fox companies released it. And it was an interesting one that had translucent, the buildings were like translucent-y. And it's got that 3D kind of feature about it, which is nice, and building upwards. But like after that initial, and this was during that time when we played it, Michelle, which was I guess 2-3 years ago or so, I feel like I got everything I wanted out of it, and I enjoyed all my time with it. Like I really did enjoy it, and that's why it was on the shelf forever. And I think the last time I played it, well, it was probably about 14-16 months ago or something, maybe like a year and a half ago or so, and I was like, I'll come back to it. But yeah, but then I was like, there's just so many other area control games and there's so much other stuff. It's like, I don't think I am going to come back to it. So, yeah, I let it go. It went bye-bye.
Yeah. Well, if you decide you want it back, I'm sure you can find it on the cheap.
Oh, yeah. You can pick it up for $20 or $30. It's not an expensive. It's not an expensive game, so.
Yeah, I enjoyed my play of this as well, actually. Yeah.
I would play it any time, but I just don't know if I needed to own it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Anymore. I got a lot of value out of it, because a lot of games I have, I don't play, you know, 7-8 times, so.
Yeah, and I get the same thing. Like, you just look at a game and you're like, I've played enough of this, like, I'm good.
Had my time
I'm
with
just
it.
Good. Yep.
Yep, exactly.
All right, mine... I did not get a lot of plays out of, and that's the Red Cathedral.
Oh, yeah. You got rid of this fast.
Yeah, I did. I played it a few times, and this game has, I think, a fair amount of hype around it.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people seem to really like it.
Yeah, it came out in 2020. It's I'm looking at the mechanisms, but of course there's like a bunch listed. It's a rondel. Yeah. You've got dice. And if you roll a die and if it says, and then it's on the board. And if it says 2, then you can move that die 2 spots. And then where it lands, you get resources. And there's also a power that you can do.
Okay.
And on the side of the board are a number of cards that are part of a building, that a cathedral that you can build, and So you're collecting resources to build these cards. And then there's a bit of area majority because they're cathedrals and there's columns. So, so you're trying to get the most pieces built in each of the columns, and there's like ways to decorate and whatnot. Another cool feature of it, it's got like two different types of score, score tracks. So sometimes you get like just points, which you would think of normally. And then sometimes you get like eagles. And so, I think at the beginning, the distance between the eagles is higher. So if you get like three eagles at the beginning, you skip like, you go up like 9 points, for example. So it's kind of neat. So lots of interesting ideas. And it comes in a very small box. Like I'm talking, like a rectangular version of those like two player Cosmos line. Like it's a small box. And so you get a lot of Euro in a box and I think that's why part of the reason why it's gotten so much hype, because at the end of the day, I think it's fine. But like if this was up against another Euro for 60 minutes, like it's just not that interesting, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Totally respect the fact that it's a small box, but yeah, mm-hmm. I just kind of found it kind of bland and not overly interesting. So people love it, so it will go to a good home, hopefully, where someone will enjoy it more than I did. But yeah, Red Cathedral,
meh.
And I knew it would sell, right? It's one of those things where it's like, it's new, I know if I list it, it'll sell right away at a good price. So that was a motivator for me as well. So there you go. That's my shipping out. Get out. Get out of here. All right. Before we close out the show, we want to gift you some pre-order savings after all of this 2021 hype.
Nice.
Yeah. You can use the Board Game Bliss coupon code ATB-TAKE5OFF100 at checkout to take $5 off an order over $100. Yeah. We also want to take this moment to say thanks again to our amazing listeners and our show sponsor, Board Game Bliss, a store where you really can find an amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. And in Sean's case, helping brighten your day by spending money. The next time you're playing with someone who has AP, may we suggest you use that time to click the subscribe button and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again. Bye.
Bang.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that. 1 hour and 23 minutes.
Boom.
Boom. Nailed it.
Did it. Did the thing. Episode 72.